have it.
And again, only 3 minutes.
The Education Policy Committee will come to order. And thank you, committee members, for being here and also everyone else. We have a lengthy agenda that we're going to try to get through. And the first three bills are policy bills. And Senator Rummel, Senate File 3119 is the first bill. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The sequence of the bills, Senator Terrell Clark was going to make some introductory remarks, so you may have to wait to the second bill to get some more of the background. So this is really the second in a group of bills. But I can tell you a little bit about Senate File 319. I think, first of all, I have an A1 amendment that we need to deal with.
Okay, Senator Rummel has the A1 amendment. We'll hand that out. The amendment is being handed out. Just to let committee members and the public know that as I was down in the tax committee a few minutes ago with some legislation, there's also Senator Wieger was down there and Senator Saxhog was down there. And so I think these last couple days before the deadlines get a little bit crazy. So, Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the A1 amendment is an amendment that puts the language in the form that the authors from the House and the Senate and the various people who have collaborated on this bill would like the bill to be in. In general, let me start from the beginning. Senate File 319 modifies membership and duties of the State Advisory Council on Early Childhood Education. As members of the Education Policy and Finance Committee, we know that early childhood is a large policy issue we've been dealing with for a long time. We've come to recognize how important those very early years are. My first year here in the Senate, we passed a little bill that helped us encourage people screening children earlier. We know the sooner that we screen children, regardless if the discovery is that there's a physical illness or a mental or some kind of something going on with the child, the sooner we discover it, the sooner we can correct it. And my own story about that is I was up at Forest Lake about a year ago, and I met a mother who was trained in early childhood issues, and she noticed that her own child was showing some signs that maybe he wasn't developing as quickly as he could. She could recognize those signs, but most parents can't. She did get him into very early screening and interventions. By the time he was in kindergarten, he was on a par with everyone else in kindergarten. So we do know that early childhood intervention does make a big, big difference. Okay, so Senate File 319 makes recommendations about the, first of all, I think it adds somebody to the council, and then it makes recommendations about the moving toward screening and assessing children at a sooner time. Bill asks the council to look at how programs and providers can become involved sooner so parents and their children can get their children the services they need to be healthy and successful in school. Bill also outlines what this council shall consider in terms of formulating their recommendations. Several questions they might ask include, are there age-appropriate, culturally sensitive assessment tools for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds? What incentives might encourage parents and providers to seek screening and assess their children sooner? How might assessment and screening data be collected and shared? And how can we monitor our progress toward the goal of screening 50% of 3-year-olds and assessing 50% of five-year-olds by 2015? And how do we get to 100% by 2020? These are ambitious goals. Many of the programs already use assessment for instructional practice. The goal is that all programs and providers who care for children understand the importance of assessment for their own practice. The Funders Coalition has committed to providing funding for these additional duties as reported. And I have with me Karen Kelly, who can give you some background on the council, its membership, and whatever else she wants to tell you about.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Welcome, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Karen Kelly Arawola, and I am the Vice President of Community Philanthropy at the Minneapolis Foundation. The Minneapolis Foundation, you may know, is one of the oldest and largest community foundations in the country. I'm so pleased to be able to be here to address you today and to thank you for all the great work that you're doing on behalf of Minnesota's children. The Minneapolis Foundation is one of eight foundations that make up a coalition that we're calling the School Readiness Funders Coalition, and we're excited about the implications of this work. You have a one-pager in your packet that outlines at a very high level the work that this funders coalition has done together. We're committed to look for opportunities to partner with others in order to see improvement in the lives of young children and their families. And really, that's why we're here today. I'd just like to mention the funders. I know we have the Blandin Foundation represented here today. So the group includes the Blandin Foundation, the Greater Twin Cities United Way, the Grotto Foundation, the McKnight Foundation, the Minneapolis Foundation, Social Venture Partners, and the Women's Foundation of Minnesota, and the Sheltering Arms Foundation. And we look forward to expanding that list to include other funders of early childhood education. We believe that as funders, we have a unique perspective to bring to the table, and we want to align our grant making and investments with a clear action plan, accountability, and outcomes. Just to give you a little background on the coalition, our coalition began with an extensive review of the research on early childhood in Minnesota and developed a long list of critical needs. We knew that we needed to develop a framework for those needs and to prioritize. And the items outlined on this list really represent that framework. We identified three key elements that we think are core to an early childhood system: leadership, accountability, and funding. And the issue of screening and assessment really fits in the area of accountability, and so I'd like to speak to that for just a moment. We think that it is very important, as Senator Rummel said, to screen and assess young children as early as possible. To wait until children are 5 years old to screen them as they're going right into kindergarten is for many children too late. And so our idea to really focus on this accountability measure is to really have a systemic approach to screening and assessment in Minnesota. We believe that screening and assessment needs to be expanded so that all children starting at age 3 are assessed for progress towards school readiness by 2020. We recognize that there are multiple elements that go into being ready for school. The Minnesota Department of Education uses 5 domains of school readiness. But for our youngest children, as Senator Rummel has said, many of those elements are health-related. We need to make sure that children are hearing appropriately, can see appropriately, have their health needs met, so that they're really on the path to healthy development. There is already a goal in Minnesota law about all kids being ready for kindergarten by 2020. We believe that investing in expanding screening and assessments will really help the state move towards achieving that goal. We know that the years before kindergarten provide a critical window of opportunity to intervene, and the goal is not to just assess children for the purpose of just assessing them. The goal is to make sure that they're connected with needed resources so that they can get on track and be ready for school. And in order to do that, problems need to be identified early. So we see this as a priority for both the state and for Minnesota families, and we look forward to working to support this. The best news here is that we're not coming to the table totally empty-handed. Our coalition commits to bringing financial resources to this effort to help finalize the great work that's already begun by the Early Childhood Advisory Committee. And as you can see, this bill directs the advisory committee to continue to do the work on screening and assessments. So with that, I'll
thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Just a question on the dates. And I see the dates are changed in the amendment. If I understand how the dates are changed, January 15th is deleted, and it says no later than July 1 of 2012, right? With an interim report on February.
I'm sure it's somewhere.
This will be February 2012. Maybe you could just address why the change in dates and.
Do you understand?
The information that I have, I believe the dates were changed just to allow the advisory committee to have more time to do the work, and then to allow an opportunity for them to report back. And so I think there was some tweaking of the dates done in that regard.
Senator Bonha.
Mr. Chair, currently the advisory council does not go on into the future, and we're finding the advisory council is very valuable, and so we wanted to have a way to make sure the advisory council remains beyond any one administration.
So the legislature would get a report. When would the legislature be the first? When would the first report to the legislature happen?
All right, sure. Mr. Chair and members, Elaine Keefe, representing Greater Twin Cities United Way, which is one of the eight philanthropic organizations that put this report together. And we did sit down with Commissioner Segrin and Assistant Commissioner Karen Klinzing, who actually represents the Department of Education on the Advisory Council, and walked them through the bills. And, you know, this amendment is part of the result of those discussions with them. They're comfortable with what we have in the bill. Originally, we had proposed that they come back with the report next February, and they said, you know, this is a really technical area. It's very complex. It will take some time to put together these recommendations and to really thoroughly look at all the assessment tools that are out there, et cetera, et cetera. And so we pushed out the date of the final report, but we want some interim reports in the meantime. So I think the first interim report would be early next session. And then the idea is that they would do one more interim report and then come up with a final report in February of 2012.
Let the record reflect that there is a quorum. And Senator Rummel moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Okay, thank you, Ms. Keefe. Any other? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Rummel, or maybe Ms. Kelly. What happens if parents don't want their three-year-old children to be screened by the state? What happens then?
Ms. Kelly or Ms. Keefe?
I think that the intent of the funders is to create a system of screening and assessment that certainly is voluntary, and parents are making the choice to engage. There are many locations where children can be screened. Sometimes it's their pediatrician's office. Oftentimes it's an early childhood program. So it would certainly be a parent's choice not to have their child screened. But we would certainly want to create a system that encouraged parents to do that so that they have quality information about their child's development.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Baja?
Mr. Chair, I just want to comment, adding the Commissioner of Health to the council will be of great benefit because so much of what happens to our youngest children is decided in those health care committees and under that jurisdiction. So adding the Commissioner of Health is a very positive step in facilitating better working relationships between the two agencies that have to coordinate the overall care and learning.
Very good. All right, Senator Weaver.
Yes. Mr. Chair, and I ask a question from time to time about the longitudinal database, which is primarily starting at kindergarten, but I know that the preschool screen now is including identifier information for the longitudinal database. Is this in your plans in terms of what you're thinking for measuring effectiveness? Because it's just rhetoric for us to say ready by K unless you have this tied in to the longitudinal data system. And a lot of times I don't know if people really get it. And I'm concerned about the different silos that we have in place right now. I know, Senator Rummel, you're very committed to a comprehensive approach, but I want to make sure that the longitudinal data system that's being developed with millions of dollars is including this type of identifier information.
I think, Mr. Chair and Senator Weaver, that one of the questions that the Advisory Council will be grappling with is how that data will be collected in the first place and how it will be shared. So there are some very difficult questions that need to be answered at this point. They're not all answered yet. That's why we need the council. That's why we need them to look so carefully at these issues. They're not simple issues.
Well, Mr. I'm happy that's being done. But by age four, that's really late, and to have 50%. And you know, I remember the work John Hottinger did and others, Pat Piper. And you know, it starts in the natal, the screening. And we have the medical community involved, you know, at some point with the 210 births or so each day. And if you don't track that, and with the 5 to 10 at risk that are born each day in Minnesota, and get that, and then suddenly we say, as a matter of policy, at age four, we hope to get 50%. It's probably too late. So I just wanted to put that on the record. I realize this is for the council. Support it. Good luck. But
Mr. Chair and Senator Weaver.
Senator Rummel.
First of all, I think Senator Clark's bill will address some of that. And I think Ms. O'Keefe might want to make a comment.
Mr. Chair and Senator Weaver, actually it's a goal of having 50% of three-year-olds assessed, and that's by 2015, so that's an interim goal. So eventually we'd like to see that be a higher number, but that's something that we want the council to look at, look at the feasibility of it, look at the pros and cons, and come back and make some recommendations.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Rummel?
If there are no other comments or questions, I'm ready to move the bill, Mr. Chair.
I think this committee would entertain a motion.
I move that Senate File 3119 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
I believe it would also include as amended.
That's right, as amended.
So Senator Rummel moves that Senate File 3119 as amended be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus education bill. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, could we also send a bill independently to the floor?
I think you could. I don't see why not. So, okay. The motion would be that Senator Rummel moves 3119 as amended and be recommended to be passed and sent to the floor. And then the next motion would be to send to lay it on the table, or no, to send it to finance.
Is this the council?
Hey, Senator Rummel, we have to change that motion.
All right.
It has to go to state and local.
She takes everything.
Unbelievable. All right, I actually was in state and local yesterday, and it only takes a
couple minutes.
Been there, done that.
All right, Senator Rummel moves that Senate File 3119 as amended be recommended to be passed and sent to the Committee on State and Local Government. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign, motion is adopted. And then. They'll send it back to finance. All right, thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Committee.
Okay, Senator Clark. Welcome, Senator Clark.
Thank you.
We have Senate File 3131.
And thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And this particular bill does not have a fiscal note, so that might make our motions at the end of this a little bit easier. And I know that we've gotten a chance to talk about one of the pieces that we're trying to move forward this year. This committee has long been working on making sure that all of our kids are ready for kindergarten, that we're closing the achievement gap, that we're giving parents good, high-quality options so that they can be making the best decisions and having their children in the best environments that are based on research. So I think the bills in front of you today are helping us move forward on that. We have strategically targeted areas and programs that can provide the best outcomes for states' dollars. We've been supportive of these types of efforts, and they are important elements in a statewide early childhood system. The bill in front of you, and I thought you might want that. The bill in front of you here is really a school readiness report card and does address part of what Senator Wieger was asking about. It directs the State Advisory Council on Early Childhood to recommend what should be included in a statewide report card. And I must say, this is not the first time that we will have done something like this. Several of us have worked on trying to reinvigorate the Minnesota milestones that were done under Governor Carlson, and part of what was done for a number of years was a children's report card. But this would be an early childhood report card, so we can really see what kind of progress we're making. It's going to measure the state's progress towards the goal of having all children ready for kindergarten by 2020. The report card will help us and other policymakers identify where the early childhood system is working and where it's not. This information will enable legislators to make better informed decisions, both about funding and policy. The council has been doing some preliminary work in this area. The Senate and the House have done some preliminary work, but we need to build on it. There is no cost to the state. The early childhood funders have agreed to provide the funds needed to carry out this work. And, Mr. Chair, I probably should have said, as you know, we do have an A1 amendment that's technical in nature. And perhaps before we take testimony, we could.
Senator Clark moves the A1 amendment. I believe, well, that'll be handed out.
And Mr. Chair, members, this amendment was recommended and done in consultation with the department after the bill was jacketed.
Members, if you make note that the first and second bill at the committee's hearing are all being paid for by private sources, private funds, it's quite a compliment to those people who are stepping up, or those foundations that are stepping up to the plate. So, Senator Clark moves the A1 amendment. I believe everybody has it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I know our time is limited. I just want to make a couple more comments before we turn over. We really have been blessed to have rich private-public partnerships on this area, and it's been important that the business community, the corporations, but also the foundations have been stepping up to the plate. And if we think about it, a few years ago, foundations did something similar in the area of housing and really tried to work at the private sector as well as with the state to be rallying resources that made sense, and having them coming forward on early childhood can help us be smart and, frankly, can also help bring some expertise that we may not always have available to us. So just want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator Carr.
Welcome, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Again, my name is Karen Kelly R. Woolen. I'm the Vice President of Community Philanthropy at the Minneapolis Foundation, and I'm here today representing the School Readiness Funders Coalition. We are very much in support of the development of this statewide report card focused on early childhood, and believe it will be not only a tool for the state, but a tool for funders in our own work. As some of you heard me say earlier, as we began putting together our agenda around this issue, we looked at all of the literature, we looked at a lot of the data on early childhood, and found it very challenging to really find all in one place kind of a what I like to call a dashboard of how the state is doing on early childhood, especially as it relates to moving towards this goal of all children being ready by 2020. We think it's a critically important tool for the state to drive both funding and other kinds of resource decisions that will benefit not only members of the legislature, but early childhood providers, funders, other government entities, and will also, I think, be an important resource to the broader community to really just have a sense of how we're making progress against this goal. So our recommendations, as Senator Clark said, are really not tied to specifics at this point. The bill does direct the Early Childhood Advisory Committee to really work on putting the pieces of this report card together, and we look forward to supporting that effort.
Thank you. Senator Clark, just a quick question on the amendment that you have. Is there a reason for on line 1.7 and 1.8 where you refer to the non-state and then you also include non-federal? Is there a reason why you would not, why you'd want to include non-federal? Let's say perhaps the opportunity to receive a grant of some sort might come up, and this would preclude that.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chair, what's not in the bill is subdivision 3, and that's the administration of this advisory committee, and in that language, it states specifically that the council can pursue funds from state, federal, and private sources. So I'm not sure why this specific change would occur, but to your question, I don't think that this language would preclude them from getting federal grants because of the subdivision 3.
So there's no, Mr. Nauman, there's no conflict between the or non-federal?
I'm not clear on that point.
Senator Clark?
My understanding, the reason for this particular language was just to ensure that the ERA funds were not being used for this particular task, not to say that a grant of some other sort that could be applied for through the federal government couldn't be utilized. And I believe Mr. Nauman is correct that the other subdivision would permit that. But that we just wanted to clarify this is going to be not government funds that will be used.
Isn't that what private funds are?
Mr. Nauman just mentioned that's kind of what private funds are.
Yes, Ms. O'Keefe just said that there may be some opportunities from some county government, which is why the non-federal. So, Mr. Chair, I think that this provides some flexibility that maybe the word private didn't permit, but also helps satisfy the department's concern, perhaps, that the council would decide to utilize funds for this that we have other resources for.
Okay, so it does what you want it to do. All right, Senator Bonner.
Apparently so.
Mr. Chair and Senator Clark, we may want to revisit this because we might later decide that we'd like to use some grant money for it. So,
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, again, I think based on what Mr. Nauman was saying, if there's an opportunity to apply for grant money that would not be those funds. So if we need to modify the language, I think that we could do that right now. I mean, I want to make sure that we are both doing the balance of what the department is talking about, not precluding in the future, because what I'm hearing you say is let's be thinking about this long term.
Right.
Okay, as long as it does what it wants. The other, on page 2 of the bill, on line 2.2, it seems like it would be better if we would delete the last 4, or actually the only 4 in line 2.2, and insert of.
Mr. Chair, I would consider that to be a friendly amendment.
Right. Senator Clark moves that. Change. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. All right. Any other questions that members have? Hey, Senator Therese Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kelly, I have a question about if you could give me a sense of some of the issues related to recognition of ethnicity and race in the report card. I know that we struggle immensely with that factor when we developed the Kids Count initiative about, of course, we have evolved, I hope, since then. But since then, we have had also an influx of a large number of African refugees and immigrants to the state, and we have continued to maintain the black category under race. And I don't want you to elaborate on it, but I don't know if this has been part of the conversation that will be that you will have with respect to really recognizing that poverty is impacting those groups throughout the state. We have a large African population in Rochester, St. Cloud, where we really need to recognize the separation of new immigrant black category and Latino as well. But I'm quite concerned about the black category in particular.
Senator, Chair, and members of the committee, I would say that we have not yet had deep conversations with the Early Childhood Advisory Committee about that specific issue. What I can tell you is that from the standpoint of the funders, disaggregating data so that we can really use it as a tool is very important. It's a very important value that we would bring to the table in those discussions. We have not yet gotten deeply into that, so I can't speak to that beyond.
Senator Treasury. Okay. We have Dr. Ephraim like to testify.
And Mr. Chair, while she's coming up, just very quickly to Senator Torres-Ray's question. It is certainly very important since part of our overall goal is to be closing the achievement gap and making sure that parents have good opportunities, that we really are being able to have a good sense about where different communities really are and what's happening with our children. So I share your question, and it's also something I will bring back to the council.
Thank you, Senator Clark.
Dr. Ephraim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Karen Ephraim. I'm here on behalf of EdWatch. And although this, like all the other bills this morning, are well-intentioned, there are several concerns that we wish to point out to you. First of all, after having passed the misguided goal of having all children ready for kindergarten by 2020, this bill is using language to expand efforts and spend much more money that the state does not have to solve a problem that does not exist. Multiple studies have shown that American fourth graders, when the effects of preschool should be most apparent, outscore all of their universally preschooled peers on international tests of reading, math, and science. U.S. students do not fall to the bottom of the heap until 12th grade, which indicates problems in the K-12 system, not a lack of preschool or not being ready for kindergarten. In addition, states that have heavily promoted preschool, like Oklahoma and Georgia for all children, and New Jersey for poor children, have actually seen declines in their fourth grade reading and math scores on the National Assessment of Educational Progress over the same period. So really have to wonder whether the goal of readiness for kindergarten is the right one. It should be more closing the achievement gap and their performance in school after kindergarten. Secondly, the bill requires the kindergarten readiness study as part of the deliberations for this report card. This is based on the flawed, subjective, and controversial early childhood indicators of progress that have never been opened for public comment or approved by this legislature, unlike the K-12 academic standards to replace the profile of learning, which went through years of scrutiny by both citizens and academics. The K-12 standards are for older children and are far less controversial than the early childhood standards that include such topics as gender and cultural identity, careers, environmentalism, and social activism for 3 to 5-year-olds. The kindergarten readiness assessment upon which this goal and all of this legislation, both this bill and the other bills, is being put forth, money that we don't have is being expended or proposed, contains many subjective items and topic areas that we don't assess in older children because they are too subjective and difficult to accurately assess. The whole assessment has little or no scientific validation and includes such things as the arts as a whole section, which we don't assess in older children in K-12. It has a child's eagerness and curiosity as a learner, an appreciation for books and reading, and shows beginning understanding of numbers and quantity, which are extremely subjective and difficult to assess. Neither the goal of having all children ready for kindergarten by 2020 nor this proposed legislation take into account the department's own cautions and limitations on the kindergarten readiness assessment published in their study report yearly. Quote, because children develop and grow along a continuum with great variability, the goal of the study is to assess children's proficiency within and across these developmental domains over time and not establish whether children or establish whether or not children individually or in small groups are ready for school with the use of a ready or not ready score. The study is not designed to provide information on the history or the future of the individual student. The infrastructure to support such a process does not currently exist and would be resource-intensive process if developed adequately to meet current demands. Any such system would have to have adequate supports for families and programs in place, detailed information on programs, data quality processes, and privacy protections. Recent national reports have discussed the complexities in the development of state-level accountability systems. The National Academy of Science reports that even in upper grades, extreme caution is needed in designing high-stakes accountability, and that for children birth to 5, even quote, even more extreme caution is needed, end quote. So if you're using the kindergarten readiness assessment and all of these other subjective things as the basis for a report card on which you're going to potentially do quality ratings and funding and all of these things, the supports and the items just aren't there. Finally, the report card will also likely recommend ever more cementing into place the flawed quality rating system that will put much more expensive and burdensome regulations on the vast majority of child care programs in the state that are private at a time when small businesses are severely endangered by government policies already And if they want to receive, even though it's touted as voluntary, if they want to receive funding and the higher ratings in order to compete in an already distressed marketplace, they'll be forced to teach these controversial early childhood indicators of progress that I've already described, regardless of their beliefs or the beliefs of those in their care. The laudable goal of closing the achievement gap can be met without this whole burdensome, flawed, subjective, and expensive system that is being put into place. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ephraim. Any questions? Not? Thank you. Senator Clark?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate file 3131 as amendment be put on a dual track, so you'll have to help me out with the right motion is here, that it be sent to the floor and that it also be laid on the table for possible inclusion.
Senator Clark, I believe it has to go to the Committee on Finance to become part of the budget division discussion. It can be sent to the floor from, we're actually acting as a policy committee.
Yes,
right,
Mr.
Now,
Chair, so. Excuse me, I should have remembered that based on what we just did with Senator Rummel's bill. So I move that it be sent to the floor and then sent to finance.
No. If it goes to finance, it just goes to finance committee, full finance.
Senator Clark, my chief advisors over here said that it should actually go to the finance committee. Or the floor, one or the other.
Mr. Chair, then I move that it be sent to the floor, because once we have a Senate position, you can include it in any bill you want to. And it may show up as an amendment to a finance bill.
All right, Senator Clark moves that Senate file 3131 as amended be passed and sent to the floor. All right, any other discussion, any other questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Clark and Ms. Kelly. Next.
Am I supposed to say aye or no?
Okay, we will take and adjourn very briefly. And. If she doesn't show up. I think we just move ahead. So the committee. Well, where is she?
I don't know. They've got.
Okay. All right. The.
One of these is
the committee will recess. The policy committee will recess, and we'll start the. Okay.